Good morning and welcome to Local Matters. Ben Rogers with the ever so delightful and good friend of mine, Caitlin Steakley. Good morning, Caitlin.
Good morning. I'm excited to be here.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm glad that fall break has passed.
Yeah. Yeah.
My children have been back to school this week. It's.
Did you do anything fun?
We went to the zoo in Knoxville. That was a lovely experience. And then we just did some other family things here and there. We went down to Baxter and got in a creek. And
Martin's Creek or Mine Lake Creek?
Mine Lake Creek.
Okay. I was about to name the other one, but it's a early word. You'll name the other one.
Mine Lake Creek.
Yeah. Well, good times.
Yeah. So we did that. We did some exploring and...
So this is, it's technically on the record, but it's off topic of what we usually talk about, but you and I are friends. Does 2 week fall break, is it advantageous to your children or is it not advantageous or is it you have a neutral stance?
I personally think 1 week is enough, but that's because we didn't go anywhere. I think if you're going to take a vacation, it works really well to have the 2 weeks because you can go on vacation and then, or have time to like calm down and do all the things at home. But as a mom who stayed home with her children for 2 weeks, we just really appreciate teachers when it's time for them to go back to school. And I'm very thankful that they're not in class together because they would quite literally kill one another. It was great for the first week. And then after a week, they were button heads really hard.
I got to see your kids at least once, maybe twice over fall break, and they had some entertaining jokes for me.
They did. Yep. They did.
I laughed quite a while after I left their presence and told and shared those jokes besides one. I shared the rest of them.
But, not listener friendly, probably.
So I was on the calendar committee for the school board about 6 years ago, and that discussion of 2 weeks versus 1 week came up, and it just came back to... At the time, that committee, which I'm sure has changed, it just came back to kids and teachers need that break.
Yeah. I think they do. I think my kids enjoyed the break. I think in the spring, because we used to do 2 weeks in the spring, too. When I was in school, it was two and two and two.
Yes.
And then they took it, added some to like Thanksgiving and Easter and spread those out because having that right before testing is too much. But I do always feel like if they were going to change it, that they could do 1 week in fall and then somehow do 3 weeks in the winter because we always have snow anyways. We barely get to go back to school in January.
Yeah.
And then they could somehow, I don't know. That would be my only change because I do feel like the holidays just go really fast because there's so much going on. But
this has been personal thoughts by Ben and Caitlin.
Yes, personal thoughts.
This is not sponsored by the radio station. Just casual conversation between two people that... actually talk about quite a bit in the community stuff. So anyway, let's talk about community stuff and something very significant and important to our children and our school system, which is the Putnam Education Partnership. It's a foundation that you are executive director and I'm on the board. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the boards that for me is the most, and if I say rewarding, that sounds selfish because it sounds like I'm making it about me. I'm not trying to make it about me, but it actually gives me a sense of purpose and in that aspect of my life, right? Yeah. So I don't have children. We don't have children. We have three nephews, and God bless them. Sometimes I want to take them somewhere else. No offense, Jace, Nash, and Lagan. but this foundation I have learned over the last couple of years of being on and serving is – It's definitely important and needed, but I think it's almost if something were happening to it, I'm not sure what our kids would do. So I'm going to let you talk about what PEP does for our children in the school system, and then we're going to get into something that we're almost like advertising for you and I together as part of this. But we'll get into first what we do. So, Caitlin, what does PEP do?
So the PEP Foundation's mission is to remove barriers for public education students here in Putnam County with the ultimate goal, of course, strengthening our community long term. We know that when kids can't learn well, especially in those early years, and miss out on educational opportunities, whether that be because of chronic absenteeism, nutritional deficiencies because of food insecurity, or housing issues that create chronic stress and add to ACE scores and trauma, that there's an expectation of lower educational attainment for those students. And so the PEP Foundation obviously has built programs and funds to help combat these things for our local students here in Putnam County. And just like you, Ben, I'm really excited to be a part of that. We have a couple. The main way that we do that is through our backpack program. That was kind of our cornerstone program. Backpack program provides weekly food bags to students in 14 of the 20 schools here in Putnam County. This year, we are serving around 800 students a week, just a little more. We've had some schools that have increased significantly this year. And then another way that we support students is through our Student Needs Fund, which works with our Student Services Team and Family Resource Center to provide critical access to assistance for families that are experiencing a temporary hardship. So what that can look like is mom lost a job. She's a single mom. They're having trouble with rent. She needs some help to get by so that they're not having to move out of county or move somewhere else and then derailing that child's educational experience. Or it could be that we're about to go on fall break and this, you know, this happened. We had to help keep a few different light bills and water bills on because kids were going to be home all day. And that's the reality for quite a few people here in Putnam County right now. And we're really thankful to be able to step in and fill the gap when there is a critical need for those families.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Student Needs Fund quite a bit today. But it's one of those things where when I joined this board a couple years ago, I didn't realize all of the obstacles that could mm-hmm. be in a child's way of learning.
Yes.
As you said, access to the building, the physical building of a school could be a hardship if they lose their home or if they're moved further away than where the school they're going to. So then they got to either look at another school or they don't go to school at all. I mean, there's so many things that we have to consider as a foundation when we're trying to assist a family. And we take it seriously. This is a foundation that has serious motives to provide assistance and further kids' educations that maybe don't have the access as some kids in the county's system has access to. And you did a great job summarizing it. And I want to offer up the website right now. It's peptn.org, peptn.org. If you put in other PEP, like PEP Foundation, that's going to take you somewhere else. It's going to take you to not even close to what we do, right?
No, it'll take you to somewhere in New York State, I think.
Yeah. So I was just looking it up to make sure I was telling people right. PEPTN.org. You can give there. You can learn more about our mission and our cause and our vision, which we have all of those. And we meet monthly as a board. There's several board members on there, wonderful mm-hmm. people in the community that I find it an honor to serve with. And Caitlin, I know you do as well. And we're happy and blessed and thankful to have you as our director because you do so much. So let's talk about the Student Needs Fund right now. We've been doing this for a while, but we made it official really this year through our annual meeting that we have as a board. We wanted to categorize it as an actual fund and have its own purpose.
Yes. Yes. And it has a committee now that helps review the cases because Ben and I were actually discussing last week. I gave a presentation to a group of women at Cookeville Junior Women's Club, and I really appreciate them for having me. But ahead of that meeting, I had to update my presentation because this school year, all the numbers are finally just rolling in. All of our forms are completed for backpack. All of our the numbers are just starting to roll in for what things are going to look like this school year. And so, like I said earlier, we have about 800 kids on the backpack program. But one of the numbers that I pulled that actually shocked me for this past semester, I knew that we had done a lot more of these critical cases with our Student Needs Fund, but I didn't realize how many. So this last school year in the 23-24 calendar year, our organization helped 36 cases throughout the school year. And that is where we help with, it's almost always utilities and some sort of rental assistance. And then sometimes there's other crazy things that just happen because life is hard. And so we sometimes as a board will vote to do things that are outside of, that are in our kind of our other category. We also do some medical and dental, and we partner with a CRMC foundation a lot of times on those because they're fantastic as well mm-hmm. and doing a lot of great work. But last school year, we had 36 cases for the entire year. This first 9 weeks of school, we have done 30 just this first 9 weeks. which tells me that we are in for a bumpy ride this year as an organization. That's on track to be a 200% increase for us in that fund. Of course, when you're doing budgets, Ben is our treasurer, you plan based on what happened last year and what you anticipate happening based on, you know, trends over time. This doesn't line up with our trend over time. And I think it just shows that the availability of resources has shifted here in Putnam County. And so people are struggling. And there's not a lot of assistance out there for them. And the need is real. I mean, it exists. It's a lot of times when I tell people kind of the numbers, the stats, especially when I'm presenting to a group, I mean, a lot of jaws hit the floor because unless you are working in it or a teacher in one of the classrooms that have the high percentage of students who are experiencing poverty, you don't see it. And it's just, you see your people at work, you see your friends outside of work, you may go eat at some of the same local eateries. Well, the people that are there can afford to be there. So you experience life well within your bubble. And so unless you are outside of that bubble, you don't always know what's happening. And so I think talking about the numbers, explaining what the difference is year over year, and hopefully getting some community members through this show and through some of our other ads that are running on the station currently, hopefully we can find some other partners to come alongside us.
Yeah, and we do, I think, especially you as our director, but as a board, we try to work hard on outreach to inform, right, mm-hmm. our community of what's going on. And sometimes people just don't know until we get in front of them. Obviously, radio and any other media outlet we can find and use is great. But peptn.org is our website. That's really a good place to find out more. I'm with Ms. Caitlin Steakley. She is the executive director for the Putnam Education Partnership. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the Student Needs Funds and all the things PEP is doing to help assist with children in our school system. We'll be back in a moment after this break. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers with Caitlin Steakley. She is the executive director for the Putnam Education Partner. She's actually more than that, but she's here for the purpose of PEP, which is a board that I serve on, and she is our executive director, and we are so thankful she's there to help and do the things and the leadership she brings. So we're talking to Caitlin about the Student Needs Fund, and you had mentioned that we already have 30 cases this year in the first 9 weeks of school. Last year, we had 36 total from basically July 1 to June, so the 23-24 school year. There's several factors for the uptick in cases, and we're projected to be, 200% more mm-hmm. this school year at this rate? And all I can say that I know of for sure, the increase is not caused by a drastic increase in enrollment, because I had Mr. King on a few weeks ago on the show, and he said basically we're up 10 to 20 students total this school year. Mm-hmm. So it's not a percentage increase in enrollment for our school system. There's other factors into that. We won't get into everything that we know, but there's things we can mention, and there's some things you can help us understand better.
Yeah, there is not as many community resources available this year as there has been in years past. A lot of that started trickling out mid-year last year, and that's when we started kind of feeling the pinch. And then this 9 weeks, we've really, really felt the pinch. I want to share with viewers just a little bit more about what the numbers look like in a couple different categories, if that's okay, Ben.
Please do, yeah.
Ben and I were talking before we started, and I love having information to share because I think it's important and it paints a really good picture of what we're experiencing here in our community. This year, so far, they have identified that there are 471 students in the Putnam County school system that are qualified as homeless. And homeless isn't just without a home. It means that they may be living with friends and family, but are not the primary leaseholder or primary mortgage holder on the place that they're living, meaning that it's a volatile situation and they can't afford to live somewhere else. So they're asked all of those questions and identified appropriately to be in that bracket. Or they're living in a hotel or a car or in some other situation that is a critical issue. And so we have 471 children in our school system that are that way. Now, this doesn't account for kids that are under the age of 5. So I think we need to remember that every time we're looking at this. This doesn't encompass every child in our community. It encompasses only children that have been identified once they're enrolled in school. So there could be far beyond that. Especially when we're looking at those younger ages, because those are even harder times, especially if the child has a mother that's single or doesn't have a partner supporting her, family supporting her. And I think those critical issues are really important to just for people to know and understand and be aware of. The enrollment is around 11,800, I believe, this year. Maybe a little bit less, because I think I have a couple other. I have like adult high school in here too, which I think they're all included. So it's around 11,800. And then of those students, the low income number is around 6,200, leaving us with 52% of students who are considered low income, which is over half. If you walk into any given classroom here in Putnam County, half of the students are qualified as low income students. And I think that's a really important thing for us to all realize, is it's a lot more prevalent than we see and know. And there's a lot of other things out there that can be happening and going on when we're looking at issues that those families may run into as their child is being educated. So I enjoy being able to advocate for those families that are in that bracket and who are struggling. No, you're not alone, first off, because it's a lot of people are struggling. You're not alone. And then, you know, always know that your school personnel is there to assist and support you. And we hope that if families are struggling, they'll let somebody in their school know, because their school does have the ability to help them find the right avenue to get help if they are.
Yeah. And that's, again, one of the reasons why you do this, you and I, right? It's because we're providing an avenue to help, and we're being a part of that. You mentioned 471 homeless children, and that's all above the age of five.
Yeah. Or pre-K too, so it could be really four and up.
Four and up, okay. Mm-hmm. And there's 800 kids on the backpack program. So all those that are pretty much homeless are, I'm assuming, on the backpack program as well, because that would just, they're correlated. It's part of the relationship. That means we have over 300 that have a home but still are needing that assistance, right? So the thought of a child being without a meal is heartbreaking. And I'm not trying to get sad and down and out about this show, but it's reality. And that's one of the reasons I wanted you to come on, is just to let people know there is a need. The backpack program has been has been essential for years. I mean, that started long before you and I was ever part of PEP.
Yeah, it's been around for 13 years this year.
And our churches, mm-hmm. God bless them, God hold them, God take care of them. They're the ones that started it. They saw a need, and they've continued to help us, right?
Yes.
They're a big part of, just because we kind of monitor it and oversee it doesn't mean that the churches are not involved. The churches are a big support system
for our
foundation. We cannot do what we do without their assistance. So thank you all at the churches and the community for giving. But we have that issue of backpack too, but it's so important that we do have a backpack program. Caitlin, it's when we navigate through all the questions, all the requests that we get, we listen to all of them. We have committees, we have a board. We never really turn anybody down. I don't know if anybody we've really turned down, unless it was just a scenario we knew different. We try to help in so many ways. The Student Needs Fund is one of those important ways, and we need more funds, right?
We do, yes.
And so we have fundraisers, and we have let's talk about it. How can someone give to the Student Needs Fund?
Well, the best way to give to the Student Needs Fund is simply by visiting our website and finding our Donate Now button, or mailing a check to the PEP Foundation. And our address is the same as the school board. It's 1400 East Spring Street, and that's Cookeville 38506. That's the easiest and best way to give to PEP. Whether you want to give to Backpack or Student Needs Fund, that is hands down the best for us, because we're assisting most of the time in a financial capacity when kids are in need. Another way, though, I mean, if you have a business or an organization, another way that we help support the schools and students is by stocking care closets and helping teachers and guidance counselors and school counselors have what they need available to them during the school day, so they're not spending their own money. We want to stop teachers spending their own money whenever possible, especially when it comes to resources. So we have a comprehensive list of needs online that viewers or listeners, we're not doing viewers. Wrong. I'm not on my TV show today. I'm used to saying viewers.
It's fine. It's fine.
This is not wish you were here. However, I do wish that you would visit the website.
Yes.
So please do that.
Yes.
But on there, you can find how to donate just to Backpack. You can donate just to our Student Needs Fund. We also have a Future Ready Fund that is supporting things like sports and performing arts and things like that. And you can read all about that there. But today is really about student needs, and because we are in a critical space with that right now and that fund. And we're kind of really wanting to push that really hard because we want to be able to provide the support for what we expect our increase to be, especially going into the holidays and winter and utility bills during the winter. I mean, it's on track to increase significantly. And so that, once again, is www.peptn.org. And on our website, you will see the What We Do button, which has all of the different things that we do and about our funds. One of the ways, though, as a business, I'm circling back, is that you can sponsor one of our bins or hold a collection drive. And we have a list of needs that are just done by category on our website that are, you can collect things for classrooms. You can collect things that are specific for a certain pantry or for our care closets and certain clothing that we need. You can also see our list of really critical needs. So these are the things that we don't have that we need right now, and we need the community to come help and support us. So if you have a business or group that wants to do that, you can go once again to the website, and that is peptn.org. And that one is /needs drive. And there you can find the list. You can contact me about getting involved and hopefully help us curb some of the need.
Okay, that's great. We're going to, it's a perfect time to break because we'll talk more about the student need funds. I'm with Caitlin Steakley from the PEP Foundation. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers with Miss Caitlin Steakley. Good friend of mine. I call you good friend. Lord, we talk enough. If we're not friends, well, something's wrong with us. I hope we like each other.
I consider
right?
you a friend, Ben.
Yes.
I very much consider you a friend. I feel like I have to call you in a panic all the time.
No,
so
if you call me several times over and I don't answer, I know something's, we need something. So she is the executive director of the PEP Foundation, Putnam Education Partnership, and that's peptn.org. We've been talking about it all morning because we'd love for you to go visit our website. There's opportunities to give for the Student Needs Fund. We've been talking about Backpack program. We have a Future Ready program to give that as you involves programs for our kids, and that includes liberal arts, it includes sports, it includes all kinds of things kids like to do outside of the traditional learning they receive in school. So the Backpack, one of the fundraisers we do for Backpack, I'll just let you get into it. We have a name for it. So what's one of the drives we do for our Backpack program?
Well, last year we did something called 150 Giving 150. This year it's probably going to be 200 Giving 150. It costs about $150 a year to support one Backpack student. So that's increased exponentially over the last few years. It's been almost a dollar a bag. I feel like increase since 2020. It's around that. It's finally trickled off some. It's not rising. It's not steadily rising like it was post COVID, where it was so severe of like a shell shock. I think we finally hit a place where we didn't have to increase the budget by like a whole lot this year. But with that, we have an opportunity for people to sponsor a student, and we're looking for 200 people to help us do that. So this year, it's our 150 is our 150 giving 150 is going to be 200 giving 150 because we need those other kids sponsored.
Yeah, and we had a fabulous fundraiser back in April. First time we'd ever done an annual fundraiser, and the whole team come together, the whole board, our volunteers came together to put it on. I mean,
amazing. Just
amazing. The River Church was a great host. And so we're going to have that fundraiser again next year. We've established it's in April, and we actually have a day, right? We've already decided on the day. Did I put you on the spot?
You did.
So,
and now I'm going to have to hold my calendar, but I'm pretty sure it's April 3rd.
Well, I was going to say 4th, so let's confirm. But it's the fundraiser. We sold out. Every seat in the room was taken.
April 3rd,
2025. 20,
yep.
Same location?
Back at the river, yes.
River Church. It's a lunchtime fundraiser, so we'd love for you to come. Just be on the lookout in the next couple months. But it was a great fundraiser for for Pep. We had a goal, and we met that goal. We exceeded that goal. We were thrilled to death, and we look to do that as well. Also, fundraiser we're looking at doing. It's almost the details haven't quite been solidified yet, but they're getting close. It's going to be a fundraiser at a new business in Baxter, Tennessee called Tee Up. It's golf simulators. And our fundraiser chair, Mr. Heath Waters, had asked me about helping with helping you and him. And I guess you and I probably are going to take lead on it because I know the people that own Tee Up. About having a fundraiser there, basically come and pay for the bay. Tee Up's going to donate portions of that to Pep. And it's going to really focus on our student needs fund because that's where we need the money right now. So that's going to be coming hopefully in November or December details. So follow us on where, Caitlin?
On any of our social media would be wonderful. We primarily use Facebook and Instagram. And the at is at Pep Found, PEPFOUND. And that's where you can find us. So please go find us. And then also the Pep Foundation on Facebook as well. So.
Yeah, that's how you can keep up with us. And of course, the website, as we said, peptn.org. Our board puts a lot of work into these fundraisers. Again, the fundraiser in April was focused on just general. Did we have a focus for the money drive, or was it funding everything we do?
It funded everything we do. Yeah. So it was a spectacular event, and I'm really excited to have it again in April. And it basically was able to showcase our students in the school system, and that was a really exciting time. We had entertainment by students. We had our food done by students. We had the decor done by students, and the award that we gave out for our community, our Rick Burnett Servant Heart Award, was also created by students. So it's just an amazing time. We're going to expand on that this year. We're really excited to start working towards April 3rd. So
yeah, and it was a big event. We continue to brainstorm as a board about how can we do events and fundraisers to raise money. And really, we're growing. It might be slow in some people's perspective. To me, it's as good as fast as we can go, and we're doing it with what we have. We have some vital people on our board, like I said. You know, Corby King, he's the director of schools. He's like an ex officio member, really. Yes. The school system really needs representation on this board to help us make sure we are going down the right path, and we always are. But their insight is valuable. But we're going forward with the mindset that there's never enough, right? And you mentioned the businesses and anything they can do with the bins, not Ben Rogers, but the
yeah, not
the,
with Ben. Yeah, hang out with Ben too.
Yeah, there's no value in that. I couldn't even auction five minutes off of my time. So we have bins that we'd love for you to host, but last year at Christmas, and I believe I'm saying this right, so correct me if I'm wrong, Caitlin, we actually had set up bins out by the tree or near the tree.
We are doing that again this year. So, yes, thank you for making that plug. Actually, Hunger and Homeless Awareness Week is just around the corner in November, which is going to be a week that we're going to be doing a full campaign as well for we're going to do our food drive. So our food drive is just like last year. We'll start on Hunger and Homeless Awareness Week and run all the way through the Christmas tree lighting in Dogwood Park. So we'll have been set up there so families who are coming can hopefully bring some sort of canned goods. We're going to put out a list. We're publishing that along with the city this year. We're really excited to be back and do that. And then also, obviously, use Hunger and Homeless Awareness Month or week to start that off, which is November, the second week. A third week in November.
Well, I mean, we're at the end of October pretty much.
Yeah, so we're right there.
Yeah,
it's coming.
Thanksgiving's almost here. That's going to be Christmas. And really the time to give starts for a lot of people. And we do our push of giving starting now especially. Caitlin, how else – is there any way else we can think of before we get off here today of how people can serve and help not only the foundation but our volunteers? More volunteering to help volunteers. Any information you can give out today for those that want to help, not if they can't financially, with their time.
Right. So definitely check in if you are a churchgoer. We hope you'll check in with your church to see if they are part of the backpack program and try to find out if you can join one of the packing groups. We have so many churches here in Putnam County that help pack bags at different schools. And we have two companies, Atmos, which used to be Cummins Filtration, and then Tutco. They're both. So if you work at either of those places, also ask your administration about packing group and what that looks like, and get involved if you can. We have other opportunities that we post online. A lot of the stuff that we're looking for, though, is having people help us spread awareness with the bins. And then also, if you want to get involved, there's a contact us button on the email or on the website. We would love to hear from you. There's different things that pop up here and there that we can always use help with. And as always, if you are already connected to a school here in Putnam County, we hope that you'll just also ask them what they need. I mean, for us, it's a lot about advocacy and really trying to push our community to love on our schools and be there for our schools and for our kids. Because I think it's a way of looking at as our community as the village.
So, yeah.
And we hope we can be that.
Exactly. And you had mentioned our teachers earlier, and I can't say enough about the heart our teachers have, the care closets,
yes,
and how they've basically had their own out of their classroom, and they funded it out of their pocket. And not one time have I heard a teacher, especially any friend of mine, complain about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That all they've ever said is, I wish I had more to give.
Yep.
Because kids will show up in class, and even it may be obvious that the teacher sees a need, but the kids sometimes will say in private, hey, I don't have a coat to wear this winter, or I don't have new shoes or something. Care closets where they can find gloves, coats, whatever those kids need. And our teachers have been vital to that. So,
yes. And I want to do one more shameless plug.
Yes, please.
Because another group that really helped us with our care closets recently was Helping Hands of Putnam County. And they gave us shoes to help fill those closets and the Starline baton. So we do have so many community members that have helped us. Those two really stepped up in the last little bit. And we have lots of shoes. So.
So we have enough shoes?
We have lots of shoes.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
We probably need coats as well.
Yes, we do need coats.
Toboggans. I say toboggan. What is it called now? Is it a toboggan still?
I consider it a toboggan.
I don't know. I think it's toboggan.
A winter hat.
Winter hat, maybe.
Earmuffs.
A beanie. I don't know.
A
whatever.
Beanie.
Yeah.
There
gloves,
go.
Beanies. It's going to get cold eventually. And our good friend, Michael Detweiler, I'm going to give him a plug. He used to have a show here, too. He predicted the winter, right? You
mm-hmm.
shared it on your Kuvel Strong page to be more precipitation. And then temperatures about the same, but you never know here. So it could snow some, it could not, but mostly more likely it's going to snow. It's going to get a little bit cold. So
yeah.
We're going to need all that. Caitlin, I appreciate you so much. I cannot put a value on what you do for not only PEP, but our community. And you had mentioned CRMC Foundation, Kuvel Regional Medical Center earlier, John Bell and his staff. We're like partners in crime, right? Partners in good. PEP and CRMC.
Yeah, not partners in crime.
Yeah,
partners
are good.
Doing good.
We work hand in hand with them. Every time we can't cover a need fully, that's the first person we go to,
yeah.
Or vice versa, right? If he can't cover a need fully, he comes to us. We always end up working it out. So thank you for what you do. Thank you for partnering with those people. Thank you for the time you put in writing grants to get money from Walmart and Publix and all these other big corporations that give back. We put our
United
time
Way.
Into that. United Way. We put our time into those grants. So thank you for being here and all the information you've given us.
Thank you for having me and letting me share.
You're welcome. This has been Rogers, Local Matters. I've enjoyed with my friend Caitlin Steakley talking about PEP Foundation, Putnam Education Partnership. That's peptn.org. Folks, if you want to give back to your kids in this community, visit our website. There's three or four different ways to give. Remember, it's always easier to smile than to frown. Make somebody's day. We hope you have a great weekend. Just be kind, folks. One of the reasons we had this show today is we want you to if you feel the need to get back, here's a way to do it. But go out and just give somebody a hug. Be nice to them, and that's another way to give. So I hope you have a great day. I hope you have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.